Welcome to the Strong Enough Podcast, where we talk about the challenges and celebrate the triumphs of people from all walks of life. I'm your host, Claudia.
And I'm your co-host, Jen.
Have you ever had what you thought was an amazing idea, but it didn't fit in with what other people told you was your comfort zone? Well, our next guest is here to share with you that she had the exact same thing, but she was able to step out of that comfort zone, and now she has a product that helped not only her son, but kids all across the world. Please help us welcome Christina Calora of Creative Beginning. Hi there, Christina. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I am doing well. I am sweltering. It's a little hot all over the country right now. And my temps in Denver, I think, are the same as Jen's in Florida.
Yeah,
I think we're about the same too. Yeah.
It's been pretty steamy. Or what we like to call in the South, swamp.
Booty.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Do you guys have that where you are? Are you swamp butt territory or no?
I don't know if we're that extreme, but
okay.
We've been just through quite the heat wave, that's for sure. So my pool has come in handy the last couple weeks, for sure.
Nice.
Loving it.
Well, as soon as we're done here, Jen and I will be over.
Amazing.
To hop in the pool. We'll even bring snacks. So
come on over.
Awesome. Yeah, sweet. So now, Jen, now we have plans for after the podcast.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, before we just show up and crash your pool, I would love it if you would share with the audience a little about yourself.
Perfect. I'm not exactly a hop, skip, and a jump away from you guys. I am from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. My name is Christina Calora, and I am the founder and CEO of Creative Beginning, home to the only patented chalkboard-based puzzle brand, which is a whole story in itself. And I'm a single mom of two beautiful boys, one that's 16 and one that's 12, who's the one that's on the spectrum. And I'm so excited to be here, and I'm super excited to share my stories, the triumphs, the excitement, and the journey that has gotten me to where I am today. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we're excited to share your triumph as well. And what we want to talk about today is a little bit about your 12-year-old son that you mentioned and you creating this brand and this product for him that is now helping so many others. So why don't you share a little bit about what you're doing that you created for your son?
Mm-hmm. So Creative Beginning essentially started with one small idea for my son after his autism diagnosis. And little did I know that it was going to blow up into something that is far beyond I ever imagined. If you can see behind me, the name Luca, that is his name. And that name puzzle came with nothing underneath it. And the teacher in me of 20 years came to an idea of, what if I paint chalkboard paint in the spaces? What would happen? Luca loved chalk. And so I decided to do that. And he learned to write his name in 4 weeks on paper. So I was a bit mind boggled. And so I took the concept into my classroom and I saw the same success. The difference was a lot of other kids wanted to come and play with the same piece, but not being able to create 20 other name puzzles. I decided to take it a step further and apply it to a full alphabet. And if you can picture your typical alphabet puzzle and now having chalk in the base and indented spaces and not being able to go out of the lines. And that sort of began the whole journey. And now we're a full product line of chalkboard based puzzles that are reaching so many kids across Canada, into the US, Australia, United Kingdom, and just really bridging the gap between special needs and mainstream. So it's that's pretty much how that started.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you.
So many things to like unpack on that. Like,
right? Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's so creative and it kind of seems so simple at the same time. So when you were doing it, were you kind of like, surely this exists somewhere and I just haven't been able to find it yet?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm on to something. And I couldn't, and one of the reasons why I decided to paint the chalk was I was on to something where there was nothing out there that could help address Luca's fine motor difficulties. Mm-hmm. Nothing that applied Identification and printing. That's the key. But at the same time, the successful printing. So he couldn't go out of the lines when he was writing his name. And that was the key. And I looked around my classroom. I'm like, I can make this puzzle look better. So decided to get a patent. As you can imagine, I wanted to make sure that I protected that idea. And I just went with it. And I'm so glad that I did because after 20 years of teaching, who would have thought I would be where I am today?
But I mean, you're still, but that's the thing though. Like you took your experience as an educator and you're still educating people. You're just not doing it in a classroom space. Like you're doing it on a global space at this point, which is amazing.
And it's another piece of the puzzle, no pun intended, that it's realizing that you can teach a child with special needs with the same resources as someone who's not on the spectrum. And a lot of parents who I've spoken to are flabbergasted by that fact. They're like, wait a second, you're creating an inclusive product. It's not just about children on the spectrum. We can work together inclusive and reach even more kids. And Luca even says now, Mom, we're helping so many kids. I'm like, right, buddy? Just from this one name puzzle has just turned into something massive. So, yeah.
What involvement does he have now? Does he kind of realize that he started all of this amazing creative beginning for you?
His picture when he was three, and our story is on the back of every puzzle. So we laugh now because he's 12. So a picture of a 3-year-old is like, whoa, no, like, Mom, I'm a big boy now. So he does realize, and like I said, he says, he'll switch between, I'm tired of being famous, which is funny in itself, to, but this puzzle can help this kid, and this one can help these in speech and language and therapies, and they were in his ABA center, for example. And so it was just, I think he gets it. I think he's more excited about seeing himself on the Toys R Us shelves,
That's so
and
funny.
then I'll read the testimonials, and I'll be like, see, little so and so is loving your puzzles, and he's, oh, like it takes him a little bit to understand, but I think he fully gets it. My older son definitely gets it. So,
Is there any
Well, I'm looking
jealousy?
at your. Oh. I don't think there is. Maybe slightly. Like Joseph, my older son, is very, very different from his brother, and he's, big into sports and baseball, so we kind of focus on, that path that he has, and, but he's his biggest advocate. He's really is. Joseph is his biggest advocate. Luke
I
is
love
biggest.
that. And there's a 4-year difference, right?
Three
Between
and a
them?
half, almost to the
Three and a
day.
half.
Yeah, three and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
So
that I feel like that's
different.
also a good age too, like with that relationship siblings wise.
But
I'm
they're
looking
like
at your website, by the way.
the opposites. Oh.
You have an Armenian one?
I do. I actually partnered with Four Little Monkeys charity out of my home, my town. And we've been collaborating, and she's big with the Armenian community. And so she's like, maybe we should make an Armenian. I'm like, sure, you want to take the patent? I fully give you permission. So she's been working with us and our manufacturer, and we created the Armenian
That's,
alphabet. Yeah. And
I
it's
love
been,
it.
I had to, message her and be like, is this correct? Because I don't know
Right.
anything
Yeah,
about
it right.
Armenian. But yeah, she's taken that to a whole other level too. And yeah, it's just amazing how we can, and I cut my own customized ones at home in different languages as well. So,
Yeah.
sky's the
No,
limit.
that's
It
so
really
cool.
is. Thank
I
you.
love
Awesome.
it. Like you're it just I, yeah, I mean, I love everything about this. This is fantastic. I mean, I know. So, my experience, I worked with the Special Olympics, and I helped produce the World Games back in 2015 that were held in Los Angeles. And I absolutely fell in love with everything about the Special Olympics. And the biggest thing for me was the athletes. Like, I absolutely, truly love working, and I hate using this word, but that population. It was literally the best experience I think I've ever had. It was the hardest experience, I'll be honest with you too. Like, literally, we were doing the torch relay, so like long days kind of thing. Literally, think about
Great.
Olympic torch was for the Special Olympics. But just the pure joy to be able to see on someone who has an intellectual disability, that they were like, I got to hold the torch and I got to run for half a mile. Like,
It
It was
different
just,
energy.
oh my
Yeah.
God, it was so amazing. You don't even understand. And it's so funny because I was just going back through Facebook a few weeks ago and I was having all my memories come back from the ceremonies and from, that whole week that we were there for the games. And it's like I have video after video of like us just dancing and playing. Microsoft was one of my clients during the games. And so we built this huge footprint for Microsoft, but we had the biggest thing for that community population, they love Just Dance. And so we had,
Amazing.
like, I'm gonna tell you, we probably had, it was like a 5,000 square foot literal setup there. And we had Just Dance probably on every single one of those monitors. We probably had about 30 or 40 consoles. And we just had like games like after another. And we had police officers doing dance offs with athletes and like
I
coaches were.
love it.
It was literally one of the best experiences. So like the fact that, I just love everything about what you're doing too. So
Thank you. And it's a
kudos to
different sort
you.
of energy. It's like,
Yes.
and I think that comes down to realizing, I don't think we realize how much children, both on the spectrum or any other disability, how much they can do. And if you give them
Yes.
an opportunity to shine, I'm telling you, I was told, Luca, if he doesn't speak by grade one, he would never speak. You can't stop him now. If
That's
I would have
awesome.
sat there and said, okay, well, I guess he's never going to speak,
Right.
or he's going to be not, who knows where he'd be today. And
Right.
realizing the potential of each and every kid, whether they're diagnosed or not, the potential is endless. And I think we forget that if you provide them with the resources for what they can do, give them the environment to thrive, they eventually will on their own time. And that's really important.
Do you think that's improving as far as providing the resources? Because, what you said earlier is that you're finding that the same resources can be used. Do you think that's improved over the last decade where there are more available resources for special needs and so that they're just like everybody? I mean, they are just like everybody else. So why do they need something else? Can't they just have the same things and just a little more patience from the person providing it?
And I think one thing I've learned in education is there is not one kid in my class that learns the same way. And with the resources that you have the ability to do so much with them. It's a matter of teaching teachers pretty much what to do. And I think we have come a little bit further along as far as teachers figuring out what to do with these resources. So, and it comes down to having people that want to figure out what to do with them. Like you could be given something and you just use it as it is, but what else can you do with it? Case in point, chalkboard. Like it's realizing what a child needs, what they excel in. Luca loved chalk. So I think that's kind of where that idea came from, and building on those strengths and building on what they love to do and with the resources that they already have. So I think that we are becoming more aware of what we can do with things, but we still got some way to go. But then you've got the advocates who are like, this is what we can do. This is what we need to do. So I think we have made some progression. I think we still got some way to go, but definitely making our way for sure.
What was it like as a single mom? Because you have two kids who are younger, and it would have been easy for you to just say, okay, here's the box that he's going to be in, and I don't really have time to do anything more than that. So I'm just going to let him be in that box. So how difficult was it for you to not sit in that box, but to say, yeah, I'm a single mom, but I got work to do.
And I actually wasn't a single mom when this came out. I sat on the idea for a good, I don't even know the number. Luca was three in 2016. I launched this in 2020 and sat on the idea for quite a while and didn't exactly have the support to say, do this. And I was in my own little box. Let's use that analogy. I was in my own little space and realizing, I don't think I can do this. I don't have the comp. Like I was very down on myself. I lost myself for quite a while there. And then only until a therapist said, yeah, you need to do this. And I hummed and hawed and I did it. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Let's go. And I look back now, people ask me how I got here, and I know very detailed of how I didn't get here. But I also know what got me here. And I think to just jump in and say, you know what, I am worth it. This is for my kids. This is for all my students. Like, let's go, let's do this. And I'm so glad that I took that leap and I didn't let anyone or anything stop me from doing it, because I don't think, I know I won't be, I wouldn't have been here 100%.
And what do you think that tells your kids?
You know what? It's funny you say that. My son said, I just landed a deal with Walmart Canada. And it's funny. It was like American Idol style. You come home with the golden ticket. Like, it was literally like that. And when he walked in the door, he's like, see? That's all he said. He's like, see? I'm like, what? He's like, and he didn't even say anything. And I knew exactly what he meant. I'm like, okay. So I know. Like, they took a picture with me. They were so excited. And I know that, and even Luca saying this is for, you know, all the other kids, it's very empowering, and it makes me realize that the impact, it might not be so verbal, but I know that I'm having an impact on my kids, and knowing that if you put your mind to it, you can achieve whatever the heck you want.
Oh, that is fantastic. I mean, like, I don't even know. I feel like we could like literally just stop the podcast right now on that
You crushed
done, and just be like,
it.
all right, cool, there's your message. Fantastic, short, sweet, to the point, guys.
Go for it.
Right. But I think, like, also I want to touch on something that you mentioned a little bit earlier when you're talking about being an educator and how every person learns differently. And I love the fact that you actually voice that, especially being a teacher. And I understand, and again, that's probably a whole other conversation about how difficult being a teacher is and how undervalued and, you know, all of that stuff. However, I also do believe that educators go into education for the reward that they get for being an educator and affecting lives and shaping lives. I had a very not great experience in high school with math. I had a teacher, she was not nice. She like would not explain things. And I didn't get a very good grade in the class. And I knew that I was good in math, but I was just like, okay, fine. But I decided the next year to take the class again. And I had a teacher who was amazing. And it literally like unlocked my brain to the point where I became a math major
Get out of
in
here.
college. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I was like, dude, I love math. I went through differential equations. Like, so the fact that you literally had a teacher, and that's the thing. I feel like I know that there's a lot of kids out there and classrooms are way overcrowded and it's hard to like make those connections. But like, I truly believe that if you do make that connection, at least with one or two students, like, it absolutely changes the trajectory of their life. If they know, if you can unlock how they learn, like, phenomenal. So kudos to you for actually learning that and voicing that, and then also wanting to teach other teachers that.
And I think one of the biggest things I tell a lot of my colleagues too, and we talk about this all the time, is I never look in a child's OSR, Ontario Student Record, prior to meeting them. So even if I've taught at my same school for 19 years, like majority of all of my career has been at one school. And I know a lot of the kids, I know a lot of the t or the parents in the community, but I don't look at their OSR report cards until I would say the first report card that I do for them, because I want to have a clean perception and understanding of them right off the bat. And it's funny that you say that you had two different teachers that were, you know, that connected with, like, they connected you in two totally different ways. Because I want my students to know that just because maybe you had a tough year the year before, maybe you didn't connect with that student or that teacher, I want to make sure that you know that I'm here to understand you and recognize your strengths and build on those strengths. Case in point, I had the same student for 2 years straight and came into my classroom very aware of capabilities and, because I knew that there was a possibility he was on the spectrum. No diagnosis. I still implemented everything that I needed to implement for him to be successful. Some of those things were for children that are designated, we'll say, for children on the spectrum. But people ask me, why did you give him a choice board? I said, because that's what he needed. He knew that if he finished certain things, then he could have this end of the choice board. And people looked at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, he's successful because I implemented these strategies. And I wish more educators would continue to do that because when I walk in my classroom every morning, I want it to be a positive experience for my
That's
kids. Like
amazing.
I want to leave that year knowing that I did everything I could to help them learn and be the best that they can be. And
So I'm enrolling in your class this year.
yeah, let's
So
go. We'll be
as we're
there.
coming up here to go crash your pool, now
Right.
I'm now going to be
We're
in
just going
your
to school as
class.
well.
Wonderful.
And
So
everybody
yeah.
asks me, are you going to retire? I'm like, no, I love my job. How am I going to retire? Like making such an impact on with the business and that. And it's just, yeah, I love it. So.
Well, and that's amazing. And maybe, like if you do decide that you want to take a step back from actually teaching, like maybe you become a teacher of teachers. You
Yeah.
create a curriculum or you
Right.
create the ways of like, hey, it's not in a box. Like, and I think that's where education has gone to because this will be another conversation. But when you have the government in control of your education, it becomes very structured. It becomes very standardized. Like everybody has to pass the same tests. Everybody has to have the same caliber. And that's not how humans are. Like, yes, we want to be treated equally, but how we learn, how we actually operate is not equal. And I don't want that. Like you want to be. You want your strengths exploited, but you also want your weaknesses. You want to be able to build on those and, be able to not have them be as weak, I guess. And
Or look
so I
as a
think,
negative. Yeah.
right.
Right.
Exactly.
Lesser
Right.
strength. That's what
Lesser
I have
strength.
learned to call it.
Agreed.
Lesser strength.
Right. And I think that's so needed in this world. I don't think you understand like how what you are needs to be all over the world. Like you need to take this and
Everywhere.
go.
And that's why
Yes.
my
And I'm an
advocacy.
entrepreneur, so like this is kind of like, but this is what my husband and I were entrepreneurs, so like I look at this stuff and I'm like, bro, this is your calling, go do it.
And this is why the advocacy piece will never end. There's so much, and like I've done public speaking and I'm doing some big events, and I use my platform to be able to advocate for just that. And I hope that I can continue to reach as many people as possible because, like you said, it is very much needed, and not just in Canada, as you know,
Yeah.
obviously,
Right.
all over the place. So I'm happily ready to do
How
it.
are you getting into this, like the States? Like, I mean, I know you said that you're, in Canada, you just got to deal with Walmart in Canada, but like, I also think, I mean, let's be honest, the United States is probably one of the biggest consumer, nations in the entire world. And it's kind of like the one that everybody wants to get into market wise. Like, how does that look for you? Like, are you,
US is actually, you guys are like neck and neck with Canada these days, to be honest.
all right, I like it.
Kaplan Educational, which I believe is one of your biggest educational companies in Canada, has done wonders for spreading the word and getting the products out there.
Nice.
But yeah, I know that the education system is very different in Canada and then in versus the US, but there is no stopping
Ah,
me
we got to
because
get it here. That's what I'm saying.
honestly,
Like, we got to get here.
it's there. It is there. Simple Google search, you'll find it in the States. And I did Toy Fair in New York, which was one of the big toy fairs in the States too, which was amazing. But yeah, I'm using my platforms. Like LinkedIn has been really helpful for me to reach, and I'll just pop a message out and share them my story and offer to send some samples. And that's anybody that gets their hands on the products and the story are pretty much dialed
Sold.
in. So yeah, sold,
The
done.
other thing I love about what you said earlier was about like not looking at the grades and whatnot that came from students previously, because I think that's another issue that we have, and not just in school, but kind of in general, is we prejudge people. We get this little tidbit of information about somebody and we base our entire perception of them on this tiny little tidbit that could have come from many different reasons. Like you said, just had a bad year, didn't connect with the person. Maybe they had some family issues going on. So there's a lot of reasons that that could happen. And if you were to do that, you would you would put that person in that box and not allow them the ability to show you where they really stand as far as their strengths and lesser strengths. Do you find that typical? Like, does everybody at your school do that? Or is that something that you really need to teach everybody else to do?
In our school is really good. We have an amazing community of teachers, and we always talk about the unnecessary bias right off the bat. Like you don't want to go into a school year with the bias of, little Johnny in the corner. Like you don't want that. And I want a lot of our teachers are really good with recognizing and, okay, this is so and so, and this, like, it's not. A lot of our teachers don't look at their OSRs prior, and I think that's. I wish more teachers would do it too, but our school, because a lot of us have been teaching at the same school for so many years that we all know each other. So it's yeah, it's not putting that bias before the. It's like putting the cart before the horse, and that's just not fair. And I hope my son's teachers don't do that for him. And I tell my parents, and back to that one student that I had for 2 years, he ended up being diagnosed the first year I had him actually. And only because I divulged to the parent that I'm a mom of a child on the spectrum. And it was like that relation that can happen. Like, it's not the end all, it's the beginning of something beautiful. Like, let's just lay that on the table. This is not the end all of a journey. It's the beginning of a beautiful journey. So, but yeah, I think at my school, I'm pretty lucky.
It sounds definitely
The
sounds like it,
teachers are
for
amazing.
sure.
Yeah. They
What are you
become.
proudest of in your journey of creating this product and getting it out and getting it in different languages? And what is the moment or the thing that you're most proud of in working through this?
I think on two levels, where I came from, what I've dealt with, my own journey, and then on the other side of it, seeing the impact that it's had. I said this again, I've never imagined it. I got an email from a lady who worked in a nursing home, and the alphabet was in their, I guess their common room, and the dementia patient was like, "I can still do this." And I was like, "Wait, we're hitting elderly now." I thought this was
That's fantastic.
so. It was like that aha moment where I'm like, this is not just about the kids. Like, there's not just about little kids. We're reaching so many different people, and I get, emails all the time. Can you think of something for this person? Like, it's much more than I ever expected, and I'm so proud of that impact. Like, it's so humbling, and it's so exciting, and it's like, where are we gonna go next?
I mean, well, even you just talking about that with the elderly, like, what about people with TBIs or stroke victims, like people that are having to relearn how to write or relearn how to talk? Like, that also could be part of their therapy for occupational as well.
Yeah, and we
There's
actually branched into all those areas, speech and language,
look at
occupational, and ABA, like I mentioned, and we've been doing a lot of there's no we, it's just me. We know that, right? There's no other person.
Well,
It's me and Luca.
honey, that's the best thing to always say about business. It's always we.
There's no we.
We.
This
Wait
we.
a minute. Creative
This
Beginning is an I. But
we.
we partnered with a lot of nonprofits, and I'm in the process of making 250 sensory boards for hospitals, and there's just so many pieces to this puzzle that I honestly think I haven't even tapped into all of them yet.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you
No.
have either. Not at all. And this is fantastic.
And I get goosebumps when I
Oh,
think about it. Because, like,
that's
when you think about where you were, and even for you guys,
right.
when you think where you've been and where you are, it's that emotion, and that's excitement, and it's like that moment. Like, just get out there and do what you want, because you're the only one that's stopping you. So.
Do you ever think about that woman who had to go to the therapist and have the therapist tell her, yes, get out there and do this? Do you ever think about her and what if she hadn't gone to that therapist or hadn't heard those words from somebody else?
I lost myself for a long time. I literally, as I look back in hindsight now, I don't even recognize that person. And
Mm-hmm.
I know I wouldn't. If I continued on that path, I'm almost 110% positive that I would not be this confident and happy woman that I am today for both myself and my kids. Like I just can't see it because I was in such a different place in my life. And professionally, I loved my job. I still love my job. And but I actually, you know, when some things go out of your memory, like you forget, like it's like almost like a form of PTSD. Like you just choose to forget. You look at certain pictures, you're like, I know exactly how I was feeling in that moment. I know what happened before that. I know what happened after. Like it took me a long time to realize that that's a part of my journey. It's okay, but I feel like I was a totally different person back then, if that makes sense.
No, 100%.
Yeah. Absolutely makes
Like
sense. And I think,
blinders on, you know?
well, and I can very much relate to you because I was in a domestic violence relationship and I finally got to the point where I wanted to get out. But I had lost myself so much that I had to go to a therapist and explain to her everything and have her tell me, yes, get out. You are doing the right thing. This is the right thing. But it was because I had just been torn down. So I can totally relate just to that feeling, you know, of like, I feel lost. I don't know which way to turn and wanting that external validation because I couldn't find it inside at that point in my life. So I applaud you for doing that because so many people would just not. You know, they would just say, nope, I'm just going to stay where I'm at in my bubble and in my box, and that's fine because it's comfortable and it might not be my favorite place, but I know it and it's okay.
And looking back now, I'm sure it's like if I could tell my other person to say, should never let anyone else or anything prevent you from taking things to where you want it to go, whether it's chalkboard-based puzzles, whether it's a different career, whatever it is. And I get mad at myself sometimes because I'm like, I have this in the I had this in the palm of my hands. I had the prototype, literally picture myself sitting on the prototype and going, why didn't I do this sooner? So
You did
it
it.
is. I did it. I'm doing it.
You're doing the
Oh yeah.
thing.
I'm doing the thing.
Do you have anything else? And I obviously don't want you to like tell us because we don't want anybody stealing your ideas, but
Can't
are
do
there
that.
other products, courses, things in Creative Beginning that will be unveiled in the coming future?
I'm trying to find the right time to launch them. Now that the patent is mine and it's there's so many things that I can do addressing children's fine motor skills and sensory, and there is a lot. And timing, divine timing is everything, if there's anything that I've learned. So you will be seeing, we're up to six now, six SKUs. So just wait.
Love
You'll
it.
be the first to know.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Well, something else that a lot of people talk about having divine timing, especially Jen, is tattoos.
Oh, yes.
Jen likes to really think about her tattoos, sometimes for years, because it's got to be right, it's got to be perfect, it's got to be the right time. Christina, I know you don't have any tattoos. First off, I'm going to ask why? Are we needle phobic? We just don't want to put something on our body. You won't offend us. Why don't you have tattoos?
Do I dare say I'm a typical Italian? There's not of Italian people that have... No, I'm kidding. I grew up in a very, not strict, but more just traditional Italian family. I never thought, I always thought of them as being very permanent and, you know, what
They
if I
are.
regret it later? It has crossed my mind recently in the last few years. Yeah, maybe one day.
What if your son, because he's not too far from 18, What if he came home and said, "Mom, I want to get a tattoo."
Has he already gotten it, or he's saying he would?
Ooh,
Oh,
great question, because
I
I mean, in that, okay, don't let him see this, but in
don't
that scenario, I would say, ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Yeah, he
So
probably
don't let
asked for
him hear me say
permission.
that. But so yeah, let's say he's not gotten it yet.
Probably just ask him what he thinks he would get.
Right.
Where would you get it? Is it hideable if he,
There you go. There you
depending
go.
on
Yeah.
what he wants to be when he grows up? I don't know. I can't see him doing that though. He's not like he's more afraid of the needles than I am, so
Interesting.
maybe the puzzle piece, maybe the autism. Like, so we have
Yeah.
a family that we're really close to that lives in my former neighborhood. And she's also in education, and her daughter is on the spectrum and very nonverbal. I think she's in third grade now. But her and her husband went and got matching, I want to say it's on their wrist, but they have
Yep.
the puzzle piece matching tattoos. So that could always be.
Or the infinity symbol. The infinity symbol is coming out more so even than the puzzle piece now. I personally don't have a qualms about either of them, but the infinity symbol might be something like on like, Mom, you're not watching this, I hope. On the inner part of my
I'm
of
hearing
my
that there's a
wrist.
chance.
Maybe. Never
Love
know.
it. Yeah. So you're saying there's a
There's
chance.
something on the lines of advocacy. Like I can just see myself
Yeah.
something that I'm really passionate about. I used to play soccer growing up, so I can only imagine if I ever got like a soccer ball or something, but no,
Oh
I
my
wouldn't go
gosh,
that far.
right? Or a little
Well,
cleat or.
yeah. But
Well,
it's not out
very
of the
cool.
question.
Yeah, okay. See, I like this. I like that you're open, like it's a possibility. I've asked a lot of people about temporary tattoos. And then I still need to research this. I saw on a show a couple years ago this tattoo that they said lasted for like 18 months. I don't know if that was real. I need to dig into it. I'll find out. But I thought that was very interesting if that is true,
Interesting
that
range.
so it was some plastic surgeons and one of them got this tattoo but said it only lasted, I
Have
don't
you
know.
guys ever gotten any you've regretted? That's the next question. Because you
I
know
wouldn't
people
say I
who
regret, but I did cover one up. So it just wasn't really my vibe anymore. So I just put something else over it.
Got it.
How about you,
That's
Jen?
awkward.
So no, but I do have a cover up, and the only reason I have a cover up is so I had Tinkerbell was my first tattoo, but I, like Claudia said, I had somebody draw me this tattoo when I was 14, and I waited until I was 19 to get it done. And I loved the tattoo, but we did it too small, and so as it aged, it started the face like you just couldn't see the detail anymore. It, like they bleed a little bit. And so I was like, well, I'd like to re I'll get it put somewhere else. So I got this entire back piece done to kind of that I wanted, but also covered up that part. And I just haven't decided where I want to put the Tinkerbell next. So that's the only reason I haven't really redone it yet. Because I need it, I want it to be big enough that you see the detail in it, but then I'm kind of also like,
Not too big.
Right.
But I've also like my entire back, my torso, my like everything, all of this is covered. So it's kind of like now I've got to start doing like the exposed areas. And I love exposed areas on other people. I love sleeves, just not on myself for some reason. But I love them, literally love them on other people. So,
All
like
right.
Claudia,
You guys are going to entice me to go get one now.
do it. We'll go with you.
Fantastic.
You know what? If you decide to do it, we'll come up there and go with
Yes.
you. How about
We
that?
will go
And
with, we will accompany you.
then go swimming.
Yes.
Yes.
But you can't go swimming because you got to keep it
Right.
dry for like
Why
2 weeks.
don't we can go swimming
But
first. Let's do the pool
yes.
day first, and then we'll go do the
Yes.
tattoos.
School,
See?
pool, tattoo.
There we
Interesting. I
go.
love it.
Yeah,
Christina,
school,
you had no
pool
idea.
tool.
Yeah,
School.
you had no idea this was happening today. Well, where can people find you? So, if they want to learn more about Creative Beginning, if they want to learn more about the products that are available, or if they also want to join us on your first tattoo, where can they find you?
The most direct spot with all the info in the store is creativebeginning.ca. We're also all over Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn under Christina Kalura, and I pop up on TV appearances quite frequently, so maybe they'll make their way into the United States too. So those
That'd
are
be
the best places to
fantastic.
meet me.
Awesome. Christina, you are absolutely amazing. Thank you for sharing some of your story with us today and really letting people know that you should not keep yourself in that box. You can get out of it and follow your dreams. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to talk to you both.
Thank you for listening to the Strong Enough Podcast. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform by searching Strong Enough. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Strong Enough Pod. If you have suggestions for an upcoming episode or a future guest, please reach out at strongenoughpod@gmail.com. Remember, you are worth it.